Hi, everybody. Welcome to the last episode of season one of Podcast of Lady on Fire, where we explore, or we have explored, the filmmaking themes and community involved in Celine Sciamma's Portrait of a Lady on Fire. We are your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I am Audrey Vandernee. It is our 50th episode, our season finale. That's right. We made it. We're still alive. So we're going to be taking a short break after this episode, but we will be back in about a month or so to celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
Our season was basically a year long.
So, wow.
Yeah. As yeah. Seasons are never. No, they're not.
We're very dedicated. But enough about next season. Let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today in this season, which is, now that we have this sapphic cinematic masterpiece of Portrait, how do we want the queer cinematic landscape or lesbian cinematic universe to change? What kind of movies and other media do we want to see in the future? Nay, what do we deserve to see in the future? We asked y'all for your thoughts and ideas, and that's what we'll be sharing on the show today to close out the season.
A couple of quick disclaimers before we dive in. Neither of us speak French, so as always, apologies in advance if we mispronounce anything. Also, if we mispronounce your username or your name, we're very sorry about that as well. Also, at this point, we are assuming you've watched the movie, because if you haven't, this episode might have spoilers. I don't know. TBD. I don't think so.
I'll be surprised if there's Portrait spoilers, yeah. But there might be other spoilers.
So if you haven't seen Portrait of a Lady on Fire, this episode might be safe for you.
The one episode.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Let's do it.
We got a lot of submissions. Thank you very, very much for sharing your thoughts with us. We were not overwhelmed.
No.
We were whelmed. We were delightfully whelmed by your submissions. So we've organized your ideas into several categories, as is our tradition here.
We love categories.
We love categories. And guess where all of your ideas now live? In a spreadsheet. That's right. We're bringing back the spreadsheets. Okay, cool. So let's start with the first one that, this one doesn't actually have a category.
Some do not have categories. Some defy categories. But also, I think a lot of these are, they don't necessarily fit into one category.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. We had like alternate categories for some of them.
Take these very loosely, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of overlap. Yeah, totally. Well, this one I might categorize as, why are we talking about this at all? The question that we asked was, what should the future of queer media be post-Portrait? And Nina wrote in, whatever it feels it should be, whatever influence there is should be subtle / by osmosis. No art should consciously determine a path by what has come before it, though allow a myriad of influences to inform what it is. And I think I understand where they're coming from with this. Like, you don't want the art that you experience to feel forced in some way, or like derivative of past works in a way that doesn't evolve the conversation. How would you interpret this? Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think also, like, if all art did was sort of respond to other art, then sure, it would get very monotonous. This is a really interesting idea, because I think I see their point, but I also feel like if art didn't respond to what came before it, we wouldn't have a lot of the art that we love. Like, I don't think Portrait would exist, right? Because I kind of feel like there's a lot of deliberate decisions that Celine is making in response to seeing the same thing over and over again. For example, the male gaze, right? So I can kind of see where they're coming from, but I also feel like it's really important for art and for the culture to move forward, you know, by addressing what came before it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's actually one of the, at least in my life, the core reasons for art to exist is to forge new paths and present new visions. And I also feel like we can't get that art, we can't get people like Celine or things like Portrait without turning a critical eye and like saying explicitly what we think is wrong with the stuff that has come before. So it can't, at least in my mind, just be this sort of subconscious osmosis of influence. If we want to self-direct our way forward.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, if we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, I wonder.
I think so. Yeah.
No, I mean with Nina too. Like, I wonder.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder if what they mean by like osmosis is what we're talking about, and it's just like looking at it through a different
lens. Like
we're
defining it differently.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. I could be wrong. I feel like only Nina can say.
Yeah, true, true.
But I think it's an interesting conversation. But yeah, if we take it literally, this idea of only making art or only allowing to be like subtly or like subconsciously influenced to make art, I think if we interpret that literally, then if that's the case, like art would be very stagnant.
Yeah.
You know, like we wouldn't be where we are today. And I think like the concept of, I mean, art in general is just like such a broad term. Like, what does that even mean? You know, like.
What do you think art that is consciously determined? So what would that kind of art look like? Art that is consciously determined a path by what has come before it. Like, if Nina is arguing against that, then I'm trying to imagine what that kind of art is so I can speak to it a little bit more clearly.
The kind of art that consciously determines?
Yeah. Like, isn't that what portrait does?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if we're taking this literally, then most art that we probably think as being revolutionary is consciously determining a path.
Right. So I think where we're diverging from Nina is that they don't think that portrait does this in some way. So I'm curious about how they think that, because they do, they think that portrait is a perfect movie, as they've said in other comments. So it's like, how does portrait not consciously determine its own path?
Yeah, that's why I ultimately think that there's just like a different interpretation of like the language that all three of us are using, probably, you know, because I don't know if ultimately like we disagree with Nina.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Nina, let us know. Nina. Yeah. Are we reading this okay? If not, please feel free to add more comments. I don't know. How do you say this?
Feel free to like add more context and
Oh, context. That's better than comments.
And comments. Yeah. Well, context in your comments.
It could come in comments. Great. Okay.
It's also like one of those things where I suspect if we had this conversation in person, it would be very different than like, I think when you're writing something and like the intent behind it is harder to read, right?
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, this is how we're starting.
Well, the reason that we ask this question is because, you know, we definitely feel like turning a critical eye towards queer media now that we've had Portrait pumped through our veins is very important, you know, and I think it's a productive and healthy way to explore queer media.
Yeah.
Or engage with it. Yeah. It's a healthier way to engage with queer media.
Yeah. And I think there's no doubt that we need to move forward. I think we're still like in the sort of infancy stage of queer media in that we're still seeing a lot of the same tropes, which maybe at one point in time, like killing off your gays was like, okay, yeah, we should see this because we need to see like gay tragedy. Mm-hmm. But I think it's gotten to the point where the fact that we're not seeing more of, I hate the word normal, but like normalization of queer stories.
Or joy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, even that, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like joy, happy endings, not stories about like coming out. I mean, we're going to hit all these points in a minute, but like, we should be moving in that direction. We should be there, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why ultimately, like, we're having this conversation and we ask this question because it's like, what do you want next? Do you want more Ammonites, you know?
right. Yeah, like, if we don't have this conversation, then guess what? We're getting more Ammonites and worlds to come.
Yeah.
So
if we don't have this conversation right now.
Yeah. If you and I don't have this conversation right now,
we're totally
all
screwed.
Doomed. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And on that note.
Number one. No, we're not going to number these. I'm just kidding. So Taciturn Satellite, speaking of worlds to come, Taciturn Satellite says, less women-loving women's stories written by men, please. Oh, and this category, by the way, is a different perspective to take on queer media, basically.
I think we could also call it, like, a different world to come.
A better world to come. Another world to come.
Yes, yes, a better world to come. I love it. No more frozen potatoes.
Frozen potatoes. No.
I feel like we're going to reference frozen potatoes a lot in this episode. And if you haven't seen A World to Come, it may not make a lot of sense, but.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah.
Also, if we did a Rocky Horror Picture Show version of this podcast, at this point in the episode, you would hold up your potatoes and.
God.
I don't know, freeze them? No. They would have to be frozen before the show.
Yeah. You would have to hold up your frozen potato and like wash it?
No. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. So it's frozen. We're going to move very quickly past this. It's frozen, but you cradle it and you look at it with disdain.
Perfect.
The move.
And then you whisper, My child is dead. The potatoes are frozen.
Three times.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay, so from Canvas, we have in the same category, possibly less male writers. Yes.
Yep.
And then also from Canvas, they wrote people that maybe get the whole soft kiss scenes are greater than, I guess, better than sex scenes. Who knows? Yes. I don't know. I don't know if I'd say they're better. But they're, we need more soft kisses for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have both in the right contexts.
Yes, that is, context is important. Not, I don't want to see your soft kiss scenes, you know, right after someone's been murderated.
Yeah. I don't want to see your sex scenes while you're laying near your girlfriend's corpse.
Yep.
So cool. All right. Manon Manny says, I'd just really like to be surprised by what quote unquote queer can be, like, quote, lovers inventing, winky face. Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. Let's expand the definition of queer and see more examples of it.
Yeah, I mean, reflecting what queerness is IRL, which is very expansive, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Emmy is friend. I'm so sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. They said queer stories told by queer women and acted by queer women. More, please.
Yep.
Yep.
From Tuck, we've got explicit consent and more gazing. Gazing is G-A-Y-Z-I-N-G.
It's the only way to spell it now.
Gazing.
Ooh, it's like a gay zinger.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, okay, yes. But also explicit consent is great, yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. They didn't say this, but also like people of maybe similar, you know, backgrounds and, not, I mean, not backgrounds, but similar height. No, similar ages. Fewer lesbian stories where it's like, you know, there's a 20-year age gap, which is fine too, but you know, just more. Anyway. Yeah.
More equality.
Yes. Speaking of more, Mary says, more from Siama.
3 exclamation points.
Oh yeah.
Also agreed. Okay, this one from Baby. I want more funding for queer/lesbian creators to make stories for and with queers that are free from the heterosexual gaze. I want us to have space for the good, mediocre, comforting, and the ones shooting for greatness but falling short. And then they also had some story ideas, which we will get to in a later category.
I was like, when are we going to get to it?
I was like, a future episode. Like, no, in, that's not what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is great. And I think we're going to see this theme throughout, just kind of like, again, the normalization of gay stories, I guess. Or
mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, there are a bunch of things about their comment that I really like. Like, I don't know that anyone else mentioned the funding part of it, but
that's true.
It's totally true. You know, it's such a practical aspect of filmmaking. And if you can support a queer project, you know, if you have the means and the desire to, then, you know, try. That'd be great. And then also, I love the second part of their comment where it's like, yeah, let's have quantity that gets us quality. So, you know, within the quantity of queer, of new queer stories, we can have good stories, mediocre stories, ones that are just comforting. Imagine me and you, I'm talking to you. And shooting for greatness, but maybe falling short. Yeah. So it'd be great if we could just have the whole gamut.
Yeah. Would you say that the ones that are, that have come out since Portrait were not shooting for greatness, even though I would say they probably fell short?
I mean, I think that, like, for example, Summerland fell into
mediocre.
Good or mediocre. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are parts of it that I enjoyed and parts that were just like, oh my gosh, I can't watch this.
Yeah. I feel like the TLDR is like just more. Right?
Yeah, more, exactly. Yeah. And I think with that quantity, we'll get more stuff that we love. And the thing is, like, people did love Summerland, you know?
True.
So I think if we do have that quantity, then it's not that we as a whole will get more stories that we love. It's that, like, more of us will find things within that quantity that we do love and that resonates with us personally.
Yeah. Okay, so from Je Suis Jassy, female gaze. Once again, we got the G-A-Y-Z-E, which is how I will always spell gaze from now on.
Yep. Yeah, I have to change it in my computer.
In your LinkedIn profile? Oh.
From Poison Dart Frog, we get queer stories made for queer people by queer people. Did we not just say that somewhere?
I mean...
Oh, it's like Amis. Yeah.
Yeah. Queer.
Yeah.
Native Mohican says, no more patriarchy. Quit killing the queer characters too. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. And we'll get into the bury your gaze trope further down as well. But yes, totally agreed. From Karina VTM, we get literally anything with female gaze. Oh, they spelled it G-A-Z-E. That's weird. that's all I ask. Yes, agreed.
Turn your spell check on. Yeah, these are great. Okay, so we are entering a category that has no label, I guess.
Well, it does have a label.
Okay, well, you labeled it LOL in caps. And I included one that was like LOL question mark. So interpret that however you want.
Right.
But the first one is from Valerie Complex. And she says, more fascinating friendships.
Yay.
Do we need to provide some context there?
Oh, sure. Okay. So if this is the first time you're tuning in, no, I'm kidding. One of the reviews for Portrait referred to, do you remember what the headline was exactly? It referred to Eloise's and Marianne's relationship as a fascinating friendship.
Explores a fascinating friendship, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So
yep.
More of those. Yeah, I'll take more of those fascinating friendships. I love them. So from Kate, we got more armpit drugs couldn't hurt anybody. And I totally agree.
I mean,
unless
I think
they're actual drugs.
Yeah,
literally, like, maybe don't. You know, you can always have more. You can't have less. So
moderation.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised more people didn't talk about the armpit drugs. I think we have one other one, but I would love in like 5 years for that to become a trope where it's like, oh my God.
Oh, that'd be great.
Another
yeah.
armpit
oh, great.
Drug movie.
More armpit drugs.
From Canvas, again, we get anything more original than Ammonite and less mildly concerning than The World to Come.
Yeah. Somewhere in that spectrum would be wonderful.
I don't know if I want it somewhere in that spectrum.
Outside that spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like those are kind of in the same part of the spectrum. Like maybe we want some on the other side of the spectrum. I don't know. They were both mildly concerning to me.
It might not be a spectrum.
Okay, great.
Okay, from Diana, we got everyone else should take their frozen potatoes and just give up. Yes. Please, if you've got, I don't know, I could do frozen potatoes in another context, but if you've got like...
You're going to get it in another context in a minute.
Great. A tale of lesbians just battling life and the elements. No, that actually sounds great too. How do I want to say this? What are frozen potatoes the stand-in for?
Well, what if you use frozen potatoes as like this defense against the patriarchy? Like literally, because I mean, a frozen potato is like a weapon, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But in Diana's comment, it's like everyone else should take their frozen potatoes and just give up. And there's something about the sentiment here that I totally agree with.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's the sort of bleak.
Yeah.
It's only looking at these like lesbian stories and these like bleak, devastating tragedies,
uphill, hardship type.
Yeah, I would say the frozen potato represents like tragedy, suffering.
Yeah.
Lesbian suffering. Lesbian suffering.
Great. Yeah. Everyone else should take their lesbian suffering and just give up.
I like this. I like the mix of ideas where it's like some people are like, I'm going to tell you what I don't want to see. And some people are like, I'm going to tell you what I want to see. So it's
this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have approached a new category that we are calling healthy relationships, which is also our side project where we give love advice. Okay. And the first one from Noelle Anel is, I'd like to see a series about a queer couple in a long-term relationship navigating the ups and downs of life together. Growing up in a homophobic family, one of their points of fear has always been that queer relationships don't last. Mine were unfortunately not a good example, but it would be great to see positive, healthy examples on screen, large and small, to give hope and to inspire.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Love
that. Yeah, and that's, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, that it would be great if we had more normalcy, just, you know, nice queer normalcy. Mm-hmm. Happiness would be great. Yeah.
What is that?
No, what is it?
Happiness.
I think we'll know it when we see it. So from Ahima, we have, I would love to see more comedy. Yes. With women loving women, old, young, in a long-time relationship, in different affairs. There's a universe to describe. I'm married to a very funny and wise woman, and we have a lot of fun in our life. But what we see on screen is mostly drama. I love this one. Yeah. Comedy would be great.
Good comedy. Not like, you know, traumatic coming out story comedy.
Yeah. No cringe comedy. Or, I mean, you know, whatever. You can have it. I would prefer not. But if we could have a nice comedy with queer people, that would be great.
Yeah. Anchorman, but lesbian. Wholesome comedy.
Ted Lasso, but lesbian.
Yeah, I was just going to say, exactly.
Yay.
Okay. From Destes, we got, I would love to see more media exploring love between queer women of color. Hell yeah.
Yes.
I love historical dramas, but I wouldn't mind modern stories either. As a young QPOC, I want to see healthy relationships between queer teenage WLW on screen that are not directed by a man. It is important for LGBTQ plus youth to know what positive relationships look like because the media we consume has a huge impact in shaping our worldview. Thank you. No, thank you.
That's great. Yeah, this is such a great point, especially for youth, for younger people.
Youth.
Especially for the youth. Yeah, media is such, you know, it plays a big role in a lot of our lives, but I think for younger people especially, it's a lot about how you learn about the world and ways mm-hmm. to be, at, you know, especially at a certain age.
And you learn about how the world sees you, too.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is also important.
Even if it's not, you know, a conscious learning, you soak it in.
Like a potato soaks in ice cold water.
Which is to say that you don't, because it froze.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so we are now entering the more diversity category, and we're going to start off with BVLBIN, who says more POC.
Yep.
Nelly also wrote less white women. Kate said more representation for people of color. And Valerie Complex said more queer stories about couples of color, which is a great point because, yeah, sometimes we'll have... Actually, I can't think of... Oh, actually, Summerland. So Summerland was a woman of color with a white woman, and that was the couple. But it would be great to see, yes, couples of color.
Yeah. I 100% second that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more in the more diversity category from Kana Koala. So as a Southeast Asian, I would love to see more representation too, especially for femme lesbians. Yes, everyone. But yes.
Great. Undazed wrote BIPOC stories that aren't about family tragedy. Punk BIPOC queer movies,
damn.
Please. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. Green light. They also wrote more stories featuring older queers. We want to see us be old, badass, and happy. Wouldn't that be great? That sounds so nice.
That does sound nice. So from Redhead Band, we got Chinese non-binary trans lesbians.
Yeah.
Yes, for
great.
Sure. And then from Core Leading, we have, I really want to see more of the gender spectrum in WLW films. And I could not agree more with that.
From The Rest is Confetti, we got more diversity and period pieces with happy endings. Yeah.
Not too much to ask for.
And that could both be one movie. Great.
And then another one from Kana Koala, we got, and this is, I think this starts to bleed into like more representation in general, but they said, I would love to see advertisements, example for Valentine's Day, that include queer couples.
Yep. I do feel like I have been seeing more ads with queer couples. I wonder though, if it's because we're in the Bay Area and maybe in other areas, the ads for that market aren't as diverse.
I think it depends like where you're seeing it, right? Like if you're seeing it on social media, that's has less to do with probably your locale, although I'm sure that factors in. But if you think about your interests, like whatever the freaking algorithm is, you know, surfacing to
you. I was just thinking about like the stuff between Hulu.
You're saying like literally,
yeah.
And also, you know, billboards and stuff. I definitely see a lot more of that in San Francisco, mm-hmm. I think, than other parts of the country that I've been to. But I totally agree with you. I feel like, Kana, I think that there should be. But I always feel like creeped out during like Pride when there's like this whole pride washing thing happening with all the ads, right? Like everything is like a rainbow flag. But that's, I mean, I think that's a little different, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would also take that versus not. I mean, at least it's
that's true.
Out there at all.
Yeah.
It would be nice if it was not just a clear grab for gay dollars, but
right,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, fine, I'll take that for now.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we are in the move past tropes category, and we got this one from Stand By Laura. Number one, stop killing us. Number two, more relationships that are not born out of cheating on an existing, usually male partner.
Mm.
Number three, relationships that already exist when the show or movie begins.
Ooh.
Number four, relationships where the central conflict is not lying about the relationship. Yes!
Damn!
This is great.
All of these. I love the specificity here.
Yeah,
this is like,
so good.
Yes. Thank you for that.
But yeah, like, and maybe also in the order that you've presented it, stop killing us would be a nice start. I know in our last live stream, someone brought up that they couldn't recall examples of when queer characters had died. But It is definitely a Googleable trope. So if you Google bury your gaze, you will find a ton of examples and they will definitely spoil those movies for you.
But do you really need to see them?
I know. Yeah. It's ugh.
I mean, maybe you do. Like, I don't know. Like, I think some of them are, sure, you know, very valid.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, I just, if you think about the proportion of queer movies, especially the ones that have become more popular, where the one, or I guess it's usually one, right? One of the queer characters dies, usually horrifically. It feels very disproportionate compared to other heterosexual, you know, romance stories or just, you know, heterosexual movies.
And also often because they're dying because they are gay or queer.
Right, yeah.
Right? That's,
I think
that's part of the problem. It's not like, I mean, it's a problem, period, but it's not like they just like accidentally fell into a hole and died, right, for the most part. It's like, you're gay, you die.
Although that does definitely happen, you know, like.
You fell into a hole and died. No, you're right, but it's.
Yeah. A lot of times, yes, it's because they're gay.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, and I think if you Google the whole bury your gays trope, you'll see, I feel like one of the top search results is all about like 2017 when all these characters, I think lesbians, were getting killed off in TV shows. There was just like a string of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you missed that, like obviously it would resonate with you less or have less meaning to you, but we're probably going to have like an episode dedicated to this later because I think people who, you know, if you're like in your teens or early 20s and maybe like you just haven't seen quite as many movies as us old crones have, then... It's totally understandable that this whole barrier gaze trope is less on your radar, you know, whereas like it's been shoved down our throats, I think, for decades. And so because we're 1,000 years old.
Yeah. Imagine a world where that was the like most of the queer.
Almost every movie you saw. Yeah.
Was like, oh, the character that you resonate with or the character your character falls in love with. Anyway. Yeah. That person dies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what does that say about your future, like your future happiness? You know, it's pretty traumatizing.
Frozen potatoes. Okay, so next one we have from Marsuel17, where they have storylines about their regular lesbian life. No more coming out drama. Hear, hear.
Yep. It would be great if they already knew they were gay and that wasn't the big deal. From Naya Desi, we got less blonde/brunette couples. I agree.
Although the other day we were talking about this and you brought up a good point where it's like if they're like POC who just happen to be brunette and blonde.
Yes, great. Right, yeah. Great. It's not the hair that I'm like, yeah. It just feels like that's a very old version of diversity where harken back to the vintage TV show Three's Company, where the diversity was that there was a blonde character and a brunette character, you know?
It's so diverse.
Or Charlie's Angels, you know? It's like, not the movies, young people.
Yeah.
It's the older show where it was all white women, but their hair was different colors, you know? It's like, let's move past it.
I love how, like, this idea of not being blonde is, like, diversity.
Yeah. Or, like, Archie comics, you know? Like, Betty and Veronica.
Yeah.
It's just... Is that it? Like, is that are those the only women you can come up with? Is like, oh, well, there's a blonde woman and there's also a dark haired woman.
So progressive. Okay. So from Aaron River, we get single in all caps, lesbians/bis, no bored housewives or cheating on a husband with a woman.
Right. And this goes back to Stand By Laura's second point. More relationships that are not born out of cheating on an existing, usually male partner. Yeah.
Yep.
That would be great. From Julie, we get less depictions of coming out. There's so much more to being queer than that. Explore it. Yeah.
We need like a whole coming out category. You're right. This is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. From Yuck's Face, where queer identity isn't the crisis of the storyline. Thank you.
Go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
From Mary, we get number one, freshness. A desire to say something new, not just rehash old stories. Number two, an avoidance of male violence. Of course it exists and is real, but it's also a trope intended to keep us in line. I won't go to movies with this in them, so no The World Beyond. I think they mean The World to Come. Mm-hmm. No Promising Young Woman. No. Number three, women writers, women directors, women who love women, really love women.
Yes.
It's true.
That's good. So. That should be the title of this episode. Women who love women really love women.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great. I think that's it. They also say, I plan on watching all 195 of the best woman-directed films from Rotten Tomatoes list and comparing them with Portrait. I suggest we all do it together, and this should keep the podcast going for another few seasons. Right? Oh my God.
That's a great idea. I feel conflicted about comparing to Portrait because I just think that's going to be tough for those other movies. But yeah, we should go through there, pick out the ones that we think people will enjoy. Do like a watch along.
Yeah.
Three seasons. There we go.
Yeah. Based on how this one went. So this season was based on Portrait. There are 195 films. So it's like another 195 seasons, basically.
Oh my God, Laurel. Okay. Cool. From Native Mohican, we get, I'd very much like to get out of the 18th century era and move into something a little more modern.
Wow.
That's a dumb
crazy
category too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, would it be too much to ask if we had a happy ending? Would it? And they didn't kill off the queer character. I don't care if the actor isn't gay either. Look at Ruth Vega Fernandez and Noemi. They did great portraying queer characters. Lose the patriarchy too. Okay, I'm done. It's all good. I love the casualness of this. Like, yeah, just do this. Yeah, while you're doing that, just do this too.
Yeah. Hey, take the patriarchy out.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So from Malariza, we get, I think it's the fight for normalcy, quote unquote. Like, I like my queer media being so gay, but that should not be the only thing good about it. Like, we are gay and queer, but that is not the only thing interesting about us. It's a big part of us, but it is not the only thing that defines us. I don't know if I make sense here, but I think you get the picture. I guess we're tired of seeing films that emphasize so much about coming out or gay relationships and being still kind of taboo. It's 2021. Let's all be happy and gay and be treated equally as our hetero brothers and sisters. Yeah, I feel like that is actually, yeah, more in line with, is it a trope?
I mean, it addresses the trope, but it also talks about the normalization of stuff, which we've mentioned, I think, kind of in maybe a different perspective. They cover a lot.
I think actually it does, it feels close to the trope to me because yeah, of the coming out part.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. Very well put. Okay. So now we are entering into this category that we're calling story ideas. And this is literally some story ideas and some kind of, I don't know.
Story characteristics? Story qualities.
Story qualities. So.
Oh, and get settled in because this is a little, this story time is a lengthy category.
Grab your hot chocolate or your wine, your port, I don't know, your brandy. Get cozy, eat a marshmallow, defrost your potatoes. This first one from M. Desportes Valmore. They say tender and sincere. Tender and sincere is also how I like my potatoes, but go on.
You like sincere potatoes?
That's, I do, great. Love sincere potatoes. I don't,
I
like
hate
those
insincere
false
potatoes.
False potatoes.
From Allison Peaches, like Portrait, more unknown stories we've lost to history / rarely seen communities.
Yeah. I kind of wish Portrait was really a story we lost to history. It's like nonfiction, but yes.
But I mean, it is like an aggregation
of stories.
That, yeah, women artists and...
That's fair point. Yeah. Forget what I said. Agree 100%. From Portrait the Gathering, great name, by the way. It's a queer romance in which the lovers talk a lot and we get to hear those conversations. Imagine that, Laurel.
That sounds very pleasant.
Conversations?
Actually.
What are those? Are those like when two potatoes talk to each other about how cold they are?
When you said the frozen potatoes thing was coming, was it just that you were going to talk just about the potatoes the whole time?
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, great. Okay. So here we have now arrived at baby story ideas. So I want to see adaptations of our classics. Come on through Zami, Ruby Fruit Jungle, or Wilbies like Fiebre Tropicale. Where's that Netflix series based on Dykes to Watch Out For?
Ooh, yes.
What about a horror series / movie based on Carmen Maria Machado's books? Oh my God.
Sorry.
We need more and more diverse Christine Vachons to produce our series.
This is so good. I'm like obsessed with Carmen Maria Machado, so
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I'm waiting for all of her stories to be bought for films.
What a great series.
Yep. From Canvas, we got simply Imagine Me and You Too, Please.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, it, so
guess
cute.
What a great story that would be, because it would just be them together.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, let's just suppose they're still together and it's just their life, you know, and maybe, you know, there's some mishaps or something, but it's not that like one of them figures out she's gay at her No, is that a spoiler? Never mind. One of them figures out that she's gay and falls in love. And, I don't know.
I think you can spoil Imagine Me and You at this point, Laurel. I think it's like 40 years old.
What's the cutoff? Okay, so yeah, at least it's not like someone falls in love at her freaking wedding, you know?
Can you blame her, though?
No, I do not blame her. However, it's just like, oh, great, another heterosexual relationship ruined by lesbians.
To be fair, this came out, again, what? When did it come out?
In the 90s?
It feels like late
90s. Or the 2000s?
Oh, my God. I'm going to look it up really quick.
Fine, let's, yeah. Mm-hmm. 2005.
2006.
Oh. What? Five.
Six.
Five.
Six.
It was released in Germany in 2006.
What? It says...
Oh, I didn't realize
weird.
You were...
Google says
German.
Whatever. Anyway.
Google it.
I think it came out at like limited release in 2005 and wide release in 2006. This is the rest of the episode, us arguing about when Imagine Me and You came out.
Perfect.
Anyway, that was several millennia ago. And I think, yes, I'm glad those tropes no longer exist.
And I am hoping that, like, I actually would be all for sequels in these genres. Because, like, Happiest Season 2, hoping, doesn't have all the gay shaming, you know? Like, she's out.
Yeah.
What are you... Oh, spoiler. She's out. What are you going to do?
Ammonite 2? Ammonite 2, can you imagine? God. Ammonite 2,
okay,
Ammoniter.
<maybe not.
laughs> I was just thinking Portrait 2 would be really sad because it would actually be the reverse, right? Because she'd be, like, married.
Oh, no.
Bleh.
Yeah. Oh, Portrait 2 is a prequel, and she's at the convent.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and then it's parallel lives. It's like Noemi's living her life, and she's just like all up in the pussy.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, she's a fucking art teacher, right? Amazing.
Wait a second.
Not that that's a personal fetish.
Anyway.
Oh, one more, though. The World to Come 2... Not gay, but then Abigail would have the rifle and Finny would be dead. So if you're into a vengeance story.
And she finds a time machine, goes back in time and saves her partner, Tally.
Yeah,
and
it's like a
it's
steam
sci-fi.
Train. And
yeah.
Doc Brown comes.
Okay, all right. No, no, no.
Okay, fine.
Nope.
All right. From Kate, we got lesbian stories with poetic dialogue and deep layers. Things we can think about. I would love things we can think about.
I mean, we're thinking about them anyway, whether they're good or bad. So I'd love more nice, deep layers to take up my brain folds.
Yeah, not things that I despise and
yes.
think about.
From The Rest is Confetti, explicitly queer Disney princess. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I have heard that Raya?
Implicitly
most...
queer.
Right, is implicitly queer.
I don't want to... Okay, this is a spoiler, but Kelly Marie Tran believes that her character is gay, and I would agree too, especially if you've watched the movie and you've seen her pal, her gal pal. But she was like, this doesn't represent Disney's opinion. So,
right.
Definitely a lot of subtext.
Yeah. But yeah, an explicitly queer one would be great. And maybe they save each other. How wonderful. From Paulus, we get post-apocalyptic sapphic scientists trying to restore civilization.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm down.
Great.
Yeah. I would love to see more dystopic lesbian future sci-fi films.
Yeah. Great.
From Jamie E. Marks, we get feel-good film with queer parents and kids. Think Yes Day or Instant Family.
Yeah. That sounds really nice.
And queer
dogs,
too.
You know, family. Aw.
Queer pets. Everyone's queer.
Yeah. Family comedies aren't, like, totally my thing, but I would love if there were more that existed, for sure. From Sean, we get... the plot of You've Got Mail, but with lesbians who stay alive through the entire film.
That makes it sound like the original, like everyone dies.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Which I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like a mega bookstore owner falls in. Wait, is that the right one? Are they bookstore owners?
Yeah. One of them is a
like an
independent.
Indie
yeah.
bookstore yeah,
yep.
owner. And they fall in love?
You've got
what?
DM? You Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. It would have to... You have a TikTok notification.
Okay, all right. Go home. Okay, so this next one is from Heather, my beloved husband, Heather. And should I caveat this with, she was typing this on her phone. last night at like 1 a.m. and literally I heard her like sort of softly snoring and with it like above her face. And I think she actually deleted it by accident and then retyped it in her. Anyway, the point is she was asleep when she wrote this. So just warning you. And it's called Too Frozen, Too Potato. I think that's a play on the Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yes.
A single ice-covered potato appears on Gemma's porch one morning. Is it a sign sent by her ex, Gladys, that her heart has never warmed to anyone else? Or is it a sign that Gladys has filled Gemma's root cellar with guns and intends for the two of them to rob a train, preferably one filled with gold, starring Tessa Thompson and Ana de Armas?
I love that it's either or. Like, the potato has two very distinct meanings, but it's one or the other. It's a binary potato.
I can see it. I mean, we've definitely had our multiple interpretations of this potato so far. So anyway, here's your potato cameo that I promised you.
That's great. Yes.
You're welcome.
Greenlit. I love it. From Undazed, we get lesbo stories set in the present or future. If I see another period piece equals skull face.
I love that. Present or future. Nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. They're probably like not even a day in the past.
Yeah. No.
Also from Undazed, Ocean 8, but explicitly gay. Gimme gay crime heist led by Kate Blanchett, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to answer your prayers in a second, sort of.
This one from Kana Koala, more non-romance films that just happen to have a queer and POC lead. Action, horror, sci-fi, etc. Whatever.
All
yeah.
Of it.
Just just non-romance. Yeah.
There's not enough queer horror. Even though horror just feels very queer, but yeah, anyway. Mm-hmm. From Ingo Pingo, we get an abundance of beauty and vibrating heat that ignites everyone's inner flame. That's beautiful.
Oh. From Nelly is not original, mythology retelling, but make it WLW. Parentheses, I'm working on it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Everyone
yeah,
work on
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
I am also excited about this because when the book Circe came out, it was, I think, my favorite book of that year, and it was a retelling about Circe's myth. So, yeah, I would love to hear it.
Is that coming out as a movie?
I don't think so, but it should. It would be great. Actually, I would love to see it as a TV series. I think it would be amazing.
From Shayna Loves Food, we got epic queer hero quests. Yes. Explore new places and there's a little romance, but it's not the whole plot.
Yeah, I sense a trend. Yeah.
I would love some superhero lesbians. Thank you.
Queer heroes, yeah.
Yep.
Queeros. great. This one from Heather. What's the dealia? Billie Jean is a shy, lonely Kansas preteen living in the 90s and obsessed with the Dealia's catalog as a window into her baby dyke future.
Is this you?
When she gets kicked in the head by a goat and wakes up inside the Dealia's catalog. Is she only dreaming? Or is some serious Wizard of Oz shit about to go down? Starring Storm Reid. Oh my God. It's so good.
The goat head was very unexpected. I mean, getting kicked in the head by a goat.
What a great turn. I loved it. And if you couldn't tell, that was me reading it for the first time. So that was a hoot for all of us. Hopefully.
Oh, really? She wrote that one while awake. So. Okay. Also from Shayna Loves Food, we get always less patriarchy. Let's explore what matriarchal society could look like. Okay.
Great.
Yep. Yeah.
From Alice, we got more armpit drugs. Yay! And an actual Japanese intergalactic emperor. It would be nice to have something as good as Portrait, but with a happy ending. Yeah.
Okay. I love this hybrid. I don't know if this is like all the same movie, but armpit drugs, actual Japanese intergalactic emperor, something as good as Portrait. Let's just say something like Portrait.
Yeah.
But I also love this like actual Japanese intergalactic emperor as opposed to like all the freaking fake Japanese intergalactic emperors we've been getting. No more of those.
Well, I think she's referring to Adele's quote where she said that she got part of her character in Portrait from the fact that she had this cape and her cape made her feel like a Japanese intergalactic emperor.
Okay, that makes sense.
And like she said the thing about the what's the mask? It's like a Japanese like theater mask.
Yeah, that's cracking. Yeah.
Like all of that went into her character. But in Alice's version of a movie, we're getting an actual Japanese intergalactic emperor.
It's funny because I interpreted this as like, because I think Star Wars has like a heavy, what's his name, influence? Kurosawa?
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Right?
I
think it's like, anyway, Star Wars is like heavily influenced by like Japanese films. And so I was thinking that's the reference there. But okay,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it all makes sense. Yes to it all. All right, this next one is also from Heather. It's called The Thief of Hearts. When Carol breaks into the MoMA to steal Murette Oppenheim's object to ransom and pay off her student loans, she meets Cute with Bly, another queer art thief who has snuck in during the dark of night to steal Frida Kahlo's self-portrait with cropped hair.
That's great.
Sparks fly and a glamorous globe-trotting romance ensues, where the two steal art, first for money, but also to boost the reputations of neglected queer artists. Their success will be on their wildest dreams, but can they trust each other? Starring Isa Gonzalez and Janelle Monáe.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. I really want to see that.
Yeah.
Now I'm sad,
I mean,
because it doesn't
exist. I can
kind
of see it in my head, but I definitely want it to exist. I love like the scene where they kind of like they run into each other and there's kind of a standoff, but then they realize what's going on and they kind of appreciate the art that the other person chose to steal. And it's like, oh, yeah, you've got really good taste, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah, I love it.
I think someone needs to pitch this. And by someone, I mean Heather. It's so good.
Okay. We got this one from Laurel, who is me.
I think it's Laurel, actually.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Laurel. So we got this one from Laurel. Lesbian witches, but not like motherland witches, just like chill woodland witches who are super powerful and done with all the nonsense of modern life. But also maybe some executive corporate witches who are probably villains. But oh my God, so sexy.
I love that. Executive
Thanks.
Corporate witches. That's so good. I'm an ECO.
Yeah. ECW.
Oh, sorry. Why
oh,
say,
it's
oh.
like a CEO.
Yeah, I was thinking CEO. I guess I'm a WEO.
Would it
Which
be like
executive
a
office?
WEO?
No, you're right. It would be CEW, Chief Executive Witch.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Ooh.
Sue.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. So the next one is Wonder Woman, but all the Amazons are actually explicitly gay.
Yes. I was just thinking about that too, because someone else mentioned, yeah. I think, something like. Yeah, the mythology one made me think that.
So easy. It's right there. I mean, it's an island of women. Anyway. And then the last one is, so in one of the episodes of the TV show that I was writing over the summer, the characters all become obsessed with this movie called The Winds of Change, which I am now reimagining as a parody of all the lesbian period pieces.
I was just thinking about that earlier, about how like it would be funny if you could get all the tropes into one movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, except maybe the death one. Or like, how could you do the death one?
I think you could do the death one if you come back to life, right? Like, it's a zombie movie.
Oh, and then you're like gay ghosts. Oh my gosh.
Or zombies, yeah. I mean,
oh, true.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that.
What
like,
if one of them turned into a ghost and one turned into a zombie? So sad. Yeah, but in the TV show, there are a couple references, but the only one that really sticks in my mind is that they kind of look at each other across the office and they're like, the winds of change. And they just say it really dramatically. And it's basically the title is the joke. Anyway.
Ship it.
Thanks.
Okay. This one is, this isn't really like an idea. It's the stupid shit that I just threw out this morning. So my pitch. No, yours are great. My pitch is literally remake any pre-2000s Winona movie and then make it gay. A lot of them are already. Well, so, yeah, I don't know if I need to see like an Autumn in New York gay. Thanks.
Oh, no. I mean, all of the ones that you have listed.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes,
you said
yes.
any.
Oh, sorry,
but, like,
sorry. Yes.
Let's at
no,
least
you're
do
right,
all
of
these.
Them. Yes, for sure.
Great.
Sorry. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So Lucas, but Lucas is a baby dyke, which he pretty much is anyway.
Yeah. Great.
That's our first movie, by the way. And then Heather's, but Veronica Sawyer hooks up with Martha Dumptruck in the end,
yes,
which oops, that was
finally.
A spoiler, but. Too bad. But I think that the current ending is open-ended enough because instead of going to prom, Martha Dumptruck is like, hey, do you want to come over and like hang out and stuff? And so who knows what might happen.
Yeah. Great.
Edward Scissorhands, but Edward is Edward from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cute. Maybe they have like a little corgi named
Corgi.
I together.
Oh.
Yeah. Dracula, but Lucy and Mina fall in love and become vampire hunters and no one gets their head chopped off.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some lesbian subtext happening anyway. So, you know. Reality Bites, but Lelena ends up with Vicky, who is Janine Garofalo's character, instead of stupid, boring Troy, played by Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Like,
great.
And then my last idea is Alien Resurrection. which is, I think, considered maybe the worst alien movie in the entire franchise, except Call, who's played by Winona Ryder. Call is an android, by the way. And Ripley get together and raise the alien queen xenomorph baby together, which, by the way, this movie, I was like looking at the synopsis again because it's been years since I've seen it, and it's kind of gay in many ways already. Like, there's some weird sexual tension between Call and Ripley. And then the alien queen is actually like, she's having this baby that's like has the DNA of one of Ripley's clones, number 8.
Yeah.
So it's like, are they co-parenting mothers? I mean, but then the, anyway, there's a lot of murder, but that's a lot. There's a lot going on with this movie.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
So for our last one, we have this one from Heather. Escape from Church Planet. Aaliyah is a young teen who's being raised on a remote mining colony by her apocalyptically religious aunt and uncle. She studies hard and dreams of getting a full scholarship to a women's college where she can finally gay out. But then, after her 17th birthday, weird stuff starts to happen around her. Aaliyah's aunt and uncle think it's the work of Satan, but it's really Aaliyah who is developing superpowers that grow stronger by the day. Terrified that she'll be discovered and sent to the church's secret mines for satanic youth. Wow, this is... There's so many youth who are satanic. Like, so many that there are secret minds for them. Anyway, as the church zeroes in on Aaliyah, Zelda, a quiet, extremely devout girl in her church, confesses to Aaliyah that she is part of an underground network that smuggles queer teenagers with powers. What about the ones without powers? All people with superpowers are queer, by the way. Oh, okay, cool. off-world to a space-age coven where she can learn to control her powers. Can Aaliyah make it out before the church realizes who exploded the baptismal tank? Starring Zendaya and Hunter Schafer. Aww. I love it.
We watch a lot of Euphoria, if you couldn't tell. But
yeah, good. I got it.
I feel like Heather, who had not read anyone else's entries, kind of... wrote these feel like responses to other people's requests. So
yeah, I like that we've already got plot lines. This is great.
Yeah, like superhero heist, Delia's catalog.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yep. We did
it. Wow. Yeah.
I greenlight all of these ideas.
It kind of feels like going through all of these, it feels like they exist in a way. It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like I feel like I imagined a lot of it while we were talking about it, and so like I've almost seen them. Yeah,
now we just got to get them made
actually
and into the lesbian cinematic universe.
Yeah, and in the meantime, the rest of the suggestions should be a checklist that Hollywood producers and other people can just run their movies through to make sure that they're not screwing it up.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, womans and bath tubers, that is our season finale. But I just want to thank everyone for submitting your ideas and thoughts and everything. We really, really love those. Just so good. So now what? We are going to take a little break, as I mentioned like 5,000 times already. I think we're going to be back probably like, I don't know, maybe late April? Soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not going to ghost you.
We're not going to be like Eloise's ghost in Marianne's memory. No. We're not going to be...
What?
I just threw the punchline out. We're not going to be like Eloise after they've had sex in Marianne's memory and ghost you.
Ooh,
no.
Good one, Laurel.
There's a better way to say that. I'm going to work on it and come back to you with it next season.
But in the meantime, if there's anything you want to share with us, please continue to do so. I guess maybe we'll continue posting. I don't know. Who knows? We're so unpredictable. But yeah, feel free to reach out. We love everything that you send us. And you can do that
by emailing us at podcastofladyonfire@gmail.com or finding us on Instagram at podcastofladyonfire and Twitter at POALOF podcast. Or you can leave us an audio message. Woo. We really, really, really love these. Head over to anchor.fm/POALOF/message. Or you can just record something and email that to us.
Or you can send us a frozen potato. I don't know how. You don't have
a mail
address.
And we'll take it one of two ways.
Wow, that sounded so ominous.
Well, yeah, it either means that like she's still in love with her, or we need to like rob trains and there are a bunch of guns in the basement now.
Oh. Wow, you've already made that
Hello?
A reference.
Did
I'm
you
so
not
sorry.
See two yeah, frozen, yeah. two potato?
I only saw the first frozen potato. Not like Frozen 4. I don't know what all the other ones are called.
Let it
go.
Oh,
my God. Oh, did you? Oh, you're making a second Frozen reference. Jeez, wow, you're so fast today, Laurel. Can't keep up with you.
Wait, that was your second Frozen reference?
No, I meant you've leaped to like Frozen, but I was still thinking Frozen, about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I was still in Vin Diesel land and you were like, I'm Elsa, which is also super gay. Okay, this is the last time I'm going to ask you to do this season, which is if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider rating us on Apple Podcasts because someone gave us a 1-star rating, which was a little surprising. I'm not upset about it, but if you want to help balance that out.
I don't obsess over it.
But it also helps other people find the show and counteracts all those trolls that are really mean.
That one troll is really mean.
Thank you for listening these last 50 episodes, and we will talk to you very soon.
Bye.
Bye.